Good morning and welcome to Morning Magazine. This is Michael Klisch. Our first guest this morning is the director of Wisconsin Sea Grant, James Hurley. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we are delighted. A lot of things I wanted to talk to you about. The main reason for the call, you've got your request for proposal program coming around again. But for the benefit of our listeners, and a lot of people out there aren't exactly sure what Sea Grant does. Most everyone's heard of it. But maybe we could start with you telling us what Sea Grant does.
Sure. Sea Grant is a state-federal partnership that does research, it does outreach and education on Great Lakes issues. And the history of Sea Grant and why Sea Grant is a little bit different, it actually goes back back to the 1860s, and if you look at how land-grant colleges were established way back then, the land-grant colleges were established to create these schools of agriculture and schools of mechanical. So the A&M type of universities were established, and one was established in each state. And in order to get that funded, the founding fathers decided that the way to do that would be to give each state a big chunk of land that was based, the size was based on their population, and then they could establish these types of colleges and universities. So it goes back to the Morrill Act of 1862, and that was something that established colleges like the University of Wisconsin, like Iowa State University, that weren't just the liberal arts or the Ivy League types of colleges. So as those were established, there was a real need to show the results and connect the results to the people who actually gave the funding. So a little bit later, a couple of other acts, mainly in 1914, there was one called the Smith-Weaver Act, and that established a link between those universities and the Department of Agriculture. So really gave the birth of extension and the concepts of extension for the people of the state to benefit from those universities. So Sea Grant sort of follows that tradition, but it wasn't until about 1968 that at the University of Minnesota there was a dean at the time who said, well, if we have this land grant concept where we have agricultural and engineering types of universities, and we have extension, and we're linked to the people to get the results out to the farms, to get the results out to businesses, why can't we do the same thing for the seas and the oceans? Mm-hmm. So that's, in effect, how Sea Grant was established, was to follow that same sort of model where you had researchers at the nation's top universities doing cutting-edge research, but also research that really linked to the needs of the people. So our Sea Grant program in Wisconsin was born at about 1968. It received its status in 1972. And since then, we've been funding research, we've been funding outreach, and it's a little different model than what you might see at like a National Science Foundation or NIH, in that we use our extension people, our outreach people, to find out what needs to be researched, and then we try to get those results out to the people who use them. So it's a different type of model than many of the federal funding programs, and it really links our universities, as we like to say, to the docks. Mm-hmm. You know, it links them to the people in the Great Lakes and responds to issues of their concern.
Unique, but so are the Great Lakes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when you look at the Great Lakes, I mean, you're looking at just a vast amount of fresh water. And, you know, we're talking about a fifth of the world's fresh water supply is right out on our back door. And subjected to so many different types of forces that it's so important to understand them, and it's so important to protect them. And so our types of research that we fund are along those lines, to better understand the Great Lakes, to better help protect the Great Lakes, and respond to what people need to know in the Great Lakes.
I was digging into the World Almanac not too long ago, looking something up, and for whatever reason, I stumbled onto bodies of water and some incredible statistics about the Great Lakes. Lake Michigan, bigger than a lot of bodies of water that are called seas.
That's right. And they say that just as to get a concept of how much water is in the Great Lakes, they say if you spread the Great Lakes over the entire continental United States, it would be about 9 to 10 feet of water. so it's a vast amount, and it's just subjected to so many different types of forces in its chemistry and its biology and such that we really need to understand and we need to protect them.
Indeed, and like any large body of water like that surrounded by industrial states, at least on the U.S. side, there's problems.
There are a number of what we call areas of concern in the Great Lakes where stakeholders or people in that region have helped identify what the problems are and have attempted to put plans together to clean them up, and we are seeing results from that. There's specifically in the Sheboygan River, we're seeing increased dredging and removal of contaminated sediments now that have been a legacy for 50, 75 years, and we're finally seeing some federal money through what's known as the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative to start to clean up these sites. And it looks more and more promising.
Good news.
Yeah.
Now, your request for a proposal plan, which comes out every couple of years, essentially, if someone's got a good idea to help out, you're willing to fund them.
That's right. What we look for are those types of researchers at our state's colleges and universities that really have some interesting ideas, some novel ideas that then can help us protect the Great Lakes. So we issue this call for proposals about every 2 years, and although we have some other special national initiatives that we'll also announce, but this is our main program funding. This is the base of our program, is that applied research that we fund through the program. And since 1968, it's I think it's about $120 million in research we funded. So we feel we've done a good part of helping train that next generation of scientists to help better understand issues like the Great Lakes.
And there's been some pretty good ideas that have come up.
There have. There are just so many. I mean, I could talk several hours about the types of research that the phenomenal researchers in the state have done. If you take something like looking at the staple of our Friday night fish fry here in Wisconsin, it used to be yellow perch, and yellow perch populations have just crashed in Lake Michigan over the past 20 to 30 years, our link, some of our cultural links, are to that yellow perch Friday night fish fry.
Yeah.
And so there's been a real switch now, because of changes that have occurred within the Great Lakes, there's been a real switch now to look at how to replace them through aquaculture and how to use new technologies to raise fish. So we've had researchers looking at the yellow perch question for a while now, and we're really starting to get breakthroughs in being able to raise yellow perch in what we call recirculating systems. So we're not using these big ponds, we're moving that type of production indoors, and we're starting to see that really take off now. We've been working with an industry that's put about $50 to $60 million into yellow perch aquaculture, because they know that whatever they can raise in yellow perch, they can sell. It's a real neat link, because it shows the need to establish that type of research, the research that went into it, and then translating those results out to the users. And to see a business like that start to really invest on research that was done here in Wisconsin, it feels good to be able to be associated with a project, with a program like that.
Oh, I'm sure. Also, too, I've read that cod are in trouble in the Atlantic, so that might add some urgency to this yellow perch project.
No, that's right. I mean, they're just the issues of overfishing and fish populations not being able to bounce back. We've got to try to supplement it with other types of fish or other types of protein, and in order to do that, we have to look towards issues like aquaculture down the line. And so the interesting thing is that with aquaculture, you don't have to raise certain types of species right near the ocean or right in the ocean. If you're doing a recirculating type of system, there's an aquaculture facility in Michigan that raises saltwater shrimp and is a very successful industry.
Wow.
And so it gives you new ideas and new placements and new businesses. And we're starting to see with aquaculture that we're also seeing that coupled with hydroponics to be what we call aquaponics now, where there's actually a business set up in Milwaukee right now that's looking at growing fish and growing plants at the same time. So you've got a loop of where the nutrients are produced from the fish excretion, that's being recirculated into an area where you're growing plants. So it's a sort of like a closed loop system.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do something like that right in an urban area. And so you're not talking about any additional costs of transporting long distances and such. Your markets can be right within the general area of where you've set up a business like that.
And dare I say, probably creating a few jobs in the process.
That's right. That's right. It's interesting because our Sea Grant program is within within NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. That's where the Weather Service is and such. We're also located within the Department of Commerce. So these are very important things to have a program that's associated with something like commerce.
Indeed. That should ring a bell for everybody.
Right.
Looks like I have to take a break. Can you hang up? And welcome back to Morning Magazine. This is Michael Klisch. Our first guest this morning, the director of the Wisconsin Sea Grant Program, James Hurley. We're talking about, about the Sea Grant, among other things, and about the Great Lakes, but request for proposals, something that comes up every 2 years in which Sea Grant, if you've got a good idea, they'll work with you. What's the process for this, Jim?
Well, it's a fairly rigorous process. What we ask for first is for faculty or researchers at our universities to send us what we call a pre-proposal. So a couple of pages that says what their main plans are, what they think the important issue is, not so much the details of how they're going to do it, but it's sort of a general overview of what they think is a problem, is an emerging problem, and an overview of a pathway of how to solve that. Then we meet with a panel of experts that looks at those projects. They look at their potential for success, and then they we look at also how it relates to what the goals of our program are, and then we let the researcher know whether it's accepted or whether it's encouraged for a full proposal submission. So what we don't want to have people do is spend a lot of time developing an idea if it's really not a great fit for Sea Grant. So the next step after that would be to then meet with all of those researchers whose pre-proposals are encouraged and help them develop into full proposals. Those full proposals then get reviewed by experts from around the world, and then we have a panel that meets next summer here in Madison, and they help us prioritize which are the best projects to offer full funding to. So it's a real rigorous, we're talking about starting a process now that the funding won't begin until February 1st of 2014. So it's our 2014 to 16 projects that we're funding right now. So it takes innovation. It, You need to look ahead and say, what are those emerging types of issues, and what different approach might I have to solving that?
Very or highly professional people, I would guess there's very little really wasted effort that goes into this.
That's right. That's right. And we try to look for the types of proposals that that not only make good research proposals, but those that respond to those types of questions that our outreach people gather that information for us. We have field offices in Milwaukee and in Manitowoc, Green Bay, and Superior. So that's where our ears are to the ground or to the peers, and trying to find out those issues. And we hope that our outreach people then work with our researchers to get that information out.
Who does the group work with? And by that I mean the Sea Grant. I assume you must have contact certainly with Washington, with the legislature, with the U.S. Congress, I would guess.
Yeah, that's right. We spend time each spring. This will be coming up in February to March. Over that window, we usually have our organizational meetings, and then we visit the offices on Capitol Hill to tell them about what we do at Sea Grant and what some of our breakthroughs might be. So there's that type of link with the federal government. With our program actually being in the Department of Commerce, we're well linked within the National Oceanographic Atmospheric Administration and with other groups that are inside there. But then we also partner in the basin in the Great Lakes Basin with other Great Lakes states, with other federal agencies, with state agencies, with nonprofits. So it's really a program that builds itself on partnerships and recognizing that we can't do it alone with the mix of a number of other different agencies and groups and such. We can respond to issues a lot better.
It's such an enormous undertaking.
That's right.
We only got a few minutes left here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been in charge over there not that long.
I just started as director in May. I had been associated with the program prior to that for about 10 years. Spent some time at our national office, spent a year out at our national office in Silver Spring, Maryland, being able to see what goes on, as they call it, the sausage factory, I guess. I spent some time in there. I'm a native New Englander who came out to Wisconsin back in the early 80s and came out here for graduate school and never was able to leave Wisconsin. I just loved it so much. And
that's kind of my story. Where are you from?
I'm from a town called Billerica, in just outside of Boston.
Yeah, I know where it is. I'm from Brockton.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So we're linked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you just know the appeal out here. I mean, just coming to a university that's located on the shores of Lake Mendota and being able to do research in lakes. My research was done in northern Wisconsin on small lakes and then evolved into Great Lakes research and all. It's just a wonderful place to be and a great place to be a part of a program that I feel is a pretty important program.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Once you get used to this place, there's no leaving.
That's right.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah. It gets in the blood pretty quickly.
That's right.
Jim, I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning and filling us in on this terrific program. And good luck on this new two-year program of proposals.
Great, thanks. I just always get our website in, right? If anybody wants further information, they can go to our site at cgrant, all one word, .wisc.edu. We link by Facebook and we link by Twitter, so we're right up on those current technologies too.
All right. Okay. Good to know. Imagine my surprise.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate it. James Hurley, who's the director of Sea Grant. We're going to take a break for the news and a few messages. Stay tuned.